Our scripture reading this morning, our Old Testament reading, will come from the book of Isaiah. We'll be reading from the 64th chapter of the book of Isaiah, verses 1 through 9, which is found on page 642 of your pew Bibles, 643 of your pew Bibles. And let us at this time listen to God's word for us. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at thy presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make thy name known to thy adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains quaked at thy presence. From of old no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God besides thee, who works for those who wait for him. Thou meetest him that joyfully works righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou wast angry, and we sinned. In our sins we have been a long time and shall be saved. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one that calls upon thy name, that bestirs himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us, and has delivered us into the hand of our iniquities. Yet, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art the potter. We are the work of thy hand. Be not exceedingly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, consider, we are thy people. Our gospel reading will come from the Gospel of Mark. We'll be reading from the 13th chapter of Mark's Gospel. And we'll be reading from verse 24 through verse 37. Again, these are the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he nears Jerusalem, where he will be crucified. But again, it begins on verse 24, with verse 24, so let us listen to God's word for us. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away before all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house will come in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Stay awake. It's the word of the Lord. Thank you, First Sunday in Advent is always a little challenging for many of us preachers. It's challenging because we know that many of you are already in the Christmas spirit. We know that Thanksgiving is over and that the decorations have already gone up. We know the Christmas music is already playing in the stores as well as in many of your heads. We know that the first stirrings of Christmas cheer has started to percolate inside of your heart. You're ready for Christmas, many of you at least. Then you come here this morning on the first Sunday of Advent and you have to listen to Jesus talking about the end of the age, this apocalyptic text that we read this morning from the Gospel of Mark about the sun being darkened and the heavens being shaken and the stars falling from the sky. And you're probably saying to yourself, that doesn't sound anything like Christmas. Thanks, Randy, for putting a damper on the Christmas spirit before it even really begins. I would apologize, but it's not entirely my fault. I can blame the lectionary for much of that. Every year on the first Sunday in Advent, the lectionary assigns one of these apocalyptic passages from the Synoptic Gospels where Jesus implores his disciples to stay awake, to stay alert, stay vigilant, and watch. These apocalyptic readings have always been quite interesting and even a bit intriguing. I realize that when many of us read these texts, we sometimes think of the Left Behind series. When I was a teenager, I remember reading these texts and hearing them being read as prophecies about the end of the world. And usually these texts inspire us to be hunkered down, to watch and wait for the coming of Jesus to snatch us away into heaven while the rest of the world pretty much goes to hell in a handbasket. These texts often promote a spirit of fear and resignation, but that's not their intent. The lectionary assigns these texts because apocalyptic texts are text of hope. They are the kind of text that would have been particularly comforting for the Israelites in the first century. People who were watching and waiting for the coming of God in their midst. They wanted nothing more but to experience God's presence tearing into the world. And that is what these texts are all about, hope. Hope not in ourselves, hope not in our own abilities, but hope in God and hope in God's coming future. That's what Advent is about as well. It's about waiting and watching and hoping for God's coming future. Not just God's coming future for us good Christians, but about God's coming future for the whole world. It's about waiting and watching for the redemption and the healing of the whole world. Jesus tells us that God's future is coming, God's kingdom is coming, and so he says, don't let the world find you asleep, but stay awake, stay alert, stay hopeful. The word apocalypse means to reveal. It means to uncover. Many of us are aware that there's a whole book in the New Testament called the Book of Revelation, and that's what it's about. It's about revealing and uncovering the true nature of reality. And that's what Jesus is doing in this passage from Mark's gospel that we read. He is uncovering and revealing the true nature of things. He is revealing the true nature about who we are. revealing that we are broken, that we are lost, that we are desperate, that we are people in need of rescuing, that we cannot rescue ourselves. Jesus is revealing that to us. He's also uncovering and revealing the true nature of the world, that the world is broken, that the world is fragile, that it is transitory. Sometimes we're overtaken by the world, we're overtaken by our structures, we're overtaken by our own accomplishments. We believe in the permanence of our own structures and what we build, but Jesus reminds us the true nature of things, that this is a world that is going to be shaken. And he is uncovering and revealing to us the true nature of God. The God is the God who is our Father. The God is the God who has made each and every one of us, that we are the clay. The God is the potter, as Isaiah tells us, that our lives, indeed our world, is all in the hands of a loving God, and God will stop at nothing to redeem this world. God will stop at nothing to heal this world, to bring God's kingdom to fruition in this world. Nothing can close down God's coming future. That is what Jesus is uncovering and revealing to us. And so Jesus says to keep alert, to stay awake, because God's kingdom is coming. Don't let the world lull you into sleep. Don't let the world consign you to resignation. Stay awake. Stay alert. Stay hopeful for the inbreaking of God's kingdom. I believe it was Saint Augustine who once said that hope has two beautiful daughters. The first daughter, he said, is anger. Anger over the way the world is. Anger over the way things are. And indeed, if you are not just a little bit angry about the world, then maybe you're not paying attention. We live in a world that is broken. We live in a world where we mistreat each other. We live in a world where we are often mistreated. We live in a world where we recognize how deficient we are and how in need of rescuing we are. And there ought to be a lot in the world that makes us just a little bit angry about the way things are. I saw something on Facebook the other day that made me angry. It was about African migrants seeking a better life and getting to Libya only to be enslaved and treated cruelly. And I remember the anger welling up inside of me, asking the questions, the relevant questions. Where are the people who ought to be concerned about this? Where is the United Nations? Where are the African nations? Where is our own nation? Why doesn't somebody do something about this? Where's God? Why does God permit this kind of thing to happen? We live in a world where we ought to be just a little bit angry over what we see, about the ways that we often take advantage of one another, about the ways that greed often runs rampant, about the ways that we often close our hearts to the plight of those who are most vulnerable in our midst. There ought to be a little bit of anger. And anger, I think, is what I detect in the words of the prophet Isaiah in our readings this morning. Isaiah's people is also captive. They are enslaved. They are deep down inside the bowels of Babylon. They have been exiled and held captive in Babylon. Isaiah understands because of the people's sins, they have traveled away from God. They have turned their backs on God, and now they are suffering for it. But Isaiah is still just a little bit angry about the plight of his people there in Babylon. And you can almost hear the anger in his words. When are you going to tear open the heavens, Lord, and come down? God, when are you going to do something about the suffering of your people? Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever been angry? It's not quite sure who Isaiah is angry at. Maybe he's angry at his own people because of their sinfulness. Maybe he's angry at God. He sounds a little bit angry at God. Why is God allowing this to happen? But you can feel the anger. When are you going to tear open the heavens, Lord? When are you going to tear things up? When are you going to shake the world? When are you going to make things right? When are you going to come down and put an end to all of this suffering, all of this pain? When are you going to come? Anger. We ought to be just a little bit angry. But anger is not enough. So Augustine said that the other beautiful daughter of hope is courage. The courage to work for change. The courage to open our lives up to the coming of God and to begin to live into God's coming future right now. It's the courage to be agents of change and healing and redemption and justice in the world right now. And that's what Jesus means when he says, stay awake, stay alert, don't fall asleep, don't accept the world as it is, don't accept the cries of your neighbors as they are, don't look over the suffering that we see in the world, but stay awake, be vigilant. Be open to the inbreaking of God's kingdom. Expect it. Wait on it, because it is surely coming. That's what Advent is all about. It's about waiting and watching and hoping for the inbreaking of God's kingdom. We have had an apocalyptic moment in our own country here of late. We've had a lot of uncovering and revealing going on in our own society. And what has been uncovered and revealed lately is the way that our society often treats women. The way that women are often treated in the workplace, the way women become sexual objects for men, that's something that has been uncovered and revealed all across the spectrum of our society, whether it is entertainment, whether it is politics, whether it's in the board room, whether it's in the news division. We have had uncovered and revealed to us the way our society treats women, particularly within the corridors of power. And I imagine that there are women, many women, who up until today were saying the same thing that the prophet Isaiah was saying, Lord, when are you going to do something about this? When are you going to tear open the heavens and come down? When are you going to make things right? When are you going to create a society where men and women could be treated as equals, where women are no longer treated as sex objects, where we can ascend our career ladders without having to wonder if we're going to be required to sleep with someone? When are you going to make things right? Uncovering and revealing. We've had that uncovered and revealed to us. And it's been because of the daughters of anger and the daughters of courage that this darkness has been exposed. It has been because some women have been angry enough and have been courageous enough to bring to light what we often don't want to see or pretend not to see, the way that our society treats women. And it has truly been a very apocalyptic moment. Stars have fallen. Careers have been shaken. Industries and reputations have been darkened. It has truly been an apocalyptic moment. For some people, it has been the end of the world. It is the end of the world. The world that they have known it. The world of abusing women as they have known it. But it's been because of the revealing and the uncovering that we have the opportunity to hope for a better world, a more just world. And that's what Advent is about. It's about waiting and watching and hoping for God's coming kingdom, not just in the future, but God's coming kingdom within our midst now, the inbreaking of that kingdom now. We are being invited to live in to that kingdom now. We need to be clear that none of us can bring the kingdom on our own. It requires God. Only God can bring God's kingdom. Only God can bring God's future of peace, God's future of love, God's future of justice, God's future of healing. Only God can bring that future, that kingdom. But God refuses to let us off the hook. The word for us this morning and this first Sunday of Advent is to be watchful, to be alert, to be awake, to be alive to the possibilities that are in our midst now, to be open to God's coming future in our midst now. And so we applaud those women who have come forward. We applaud those daughters of anger and those daughters of hope who have shown us, revealed to us our own hearts, have revealed to us what we often want to remain hidden, because in their revealing, they have shown the way of what it means to hope for a better future. And so this first Sunday of Advent, we read these passages and we lament with the prophet Isaiah and we listen to the words of Jesus to stay awake, to be vigilant. The world, of course, has a great deal in which they would try to shut us down. And we sometimes buy into that and shut our own selves down. But we are invited this morning to remember that there is absolutely nothing that can prevent God from bringing God's coming future. One day the lion will lay with the lamb. One day there will be peace and justice in the world. One day enemies will be reconciled. One day the hungry will be fed. One day the naked will be clothed. One day that those who suffer injustice will find justice. One day men and women will be treated as equals. One day God's kingdom will break into this world. So be watchful, be vigilant, stay awake for the coming of God's future in our midst. Let us pray. Gracious God, You have given us a glimpse this day, this first Sunday of Advent, of your coming future, of the coming of your kingdom, of the Son of Man coming in the clouds of glory. We ask you this morning that you help us to begin even now to claim that future for ourselves. Help us not to be resigned to this world, but help us to be transformed in our minds, transformed by your great love for each and every one of us, and your great love for the world. Help us to be your agents of change as we go out into the world, being the light that you have called us to be, the light of hope in the midst of a darkened world. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.